Assalamu alaikum, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam, Sabira, and assalamu alaikum to the listeners. Good morning to you all.
Now, of course, not ideal circumstances to be speaking under, but let's take a look at the situation. Of course, very exciting news that perhaps in September you were supposed to leave for Umrah. And like you've mentioned, you know, a seasoned traveler trying to go each year to fulfill the Umrah rites, which is a beautiful thing and something I don't think you can get enough of as many times as you travel to the Holy Kingdom. So when did things go downhill? What happened? I mean, you went in, like many others, I can imagine, to book your tickets, to book your package, excited, of course, and then what?
So we made all the necessary arrangements, Sabira, and made the required payments, which we did well in advance. And then, as you say, very excitedly looked forward to the departure date. And then came the 1st of Muharram. We had heard that an announcement was made by the Saudi ministry that this year the booking format would be changed and that all land arrangements would need to be done via the online portal.
Correct.
So I believe that is where things started to go wrong, because from what I understand, when the agents accessed this online portal to do the bookings, not all the hotels had been loaded onto it. So there was apparently a battle to get the bookings done in order for the tour operators to access the necessary visas. I became quite concerned about this and made contact with New Heights about a week prior to my departure to inquire as to their progress. And I was told that at that particular stage they'd been suffering lots of frustration in trying to get the bookings done, because the hotels that they had made arrangements with had not been loaded onto the system.
So just to understand, you know, by that point, from the time that you had made the payment, the complete payment, which I'm sure set you back just over 50,000 rands, to the days, you know, in the run-up to the actual date of departure, you had not heard from New Heights Travel.
We had not heard anything from
until New Heights. You had approached them, basically.
Correct.
All right. Okay. So, you know, once the issues came about, you know, what were the sort of issues that they communicated that they were having an issue with?
So essentially, what needed to happen was that the hotels needed to be booked via this online portal, as I said. The hotels were not there for them to book. So in order to get the visas issued, and this is what they told me needed to be done, and what apparently some other operators had started doing, was to book 2 or 3 star accommodation via the online portal in addition to the accommodation that they had booked prior. So in other words, my understanding of this was that people, for example, who had booked a 5-star hotel would now need to rebook a 2 or 3-star hotel at additional cost just in order to access a visa. Now, I'm sure we'd all agree that that's not very fair. You know, because essentially the Mutamireen would be sitting, having booked 2 hotels and only being able to occupy one. When I spoke with New Heights, they mentioned to me that they too thought that this was incredibly unfair and exploitative, and that they would not participate in such a practice. And I must admit that I admired that approach. However, the downside was that there was no other way, apparently, that they could get the hotels booked. And by that time, quite a number of days had passed, and they eventually got to the point where they had realized that they were not going to get anywhere in time to prepare the first lot of Mutamireen for their departure. And it was then that New Heights had taken a unilateral decision to cancel all September Umrahs. Now, I know for certain that there was one trip planned for the 18th of September and one for the 21st of September. That was the one that we were meant to be on. And I'm almost sure that there was a third one scheduled for the 23rd. However, I stand to be corrected on that one. So it's my understanding that all three tours were cancelled. And we were then given the option of either getting 100% refund of the costs incurred, mm-hmm. or alternatively to postpone to the month of October, by which time they would have expected this online portal to be updated and ready.
So, of course, in your situation, what did you opt to go with?
Well, I wasn't able to travel in October, and I wasn't going to be available to travel at all, in fact, until well into the new calendar year. So we opted to apply for the cancellation.
Sure.
And formalized this through an email to New Heights Travel, which we informed them of our disappointment and our decision to apply for the cancellation.
All right. So what communication followed thereafter?
None, in fact.
Okay.
Wow. Which I found quite surprising. And what it necessitated was a follow-up call by myself to their Johannesburg offices.
Mm-hmm.
Because what had happened in the interim, and this is important for me to add as well, leading up to the time that we experienced these problems, the tour agency was quite accessible. The person that we had dealt with, I understand to be Fazila Malik's son, a young man by the name of Ahmed. He was accessible. Mm-hmm. I visited their offices in Rylands on a number of occasions. I had called him and WhatsApped him, and he was very prompt in responding. But after we had submitted our notification of cancellation, Ahmed was not accessible. I made one final call to the offices and spoke with the administrator, who managed to get hold of him telephonically immediately.
Mm. Okay.
And I, in fact, commented and said, I find this particularly strange that I've been trying repeatedly without success, and yet you pick up the phone and you get hold of him instantly. He gives you an entire explanation telephonically, but he doesn't speak to me.
Sure.
You know? Anyway, besides that, the one thing that I must say is that in their correspondence, they referred all future communications to Fazila herself and provided a cell number.
Okay.
And despite all the reports that I've heard, where people claim that Fazila was ducking and diving and not taking their calls, whenever I had called her, she had always answered my call.
So that was your experience with
her? That was my experience.
Right.
You know, there wasn't one occasion where I tried to access her and she wasn't accessible. On the odd occasion where she didn't respond immediately, she did return my calls. So,
Okay. So
I've had the opportunity to speak with Fazila many times, you know, just to get updates and so on. And yes, I've inquired as to the progress.
Mr. Saville, so you've paid for your package for yourself and your wife. That would include visas, flights and accommodation.
Correct.
Where is your money?
I have absolutely no idea.
So in all of those conversations with Fazila, what did she tell you?
So essentially what Fazila mentioned to me was that they had to pre-book the hotel accommodation, which is apparently the way it's always been done. Okay,
yes.
So they paid up front for the accommodation, and that I do understand. I was at some point led to understand that the flights could not be booked, because that was apparently something that needed to be done once the visas were issued.
Do you know who you are going to be flying with?
Saudi
Air. Saudi Air, okay. All right.
And if, you know, I recollect accurately, then I was told by some or other party, either Fazila or a gentleman by the name of Mac, who operates the Johannesburg offices, that they couldn't book the flights because it was some kind of Muharram special that was running with Saudi Air, and that if any changes needed to be made, that they ran the risk of not being able to get a refund on the flights.
Okay.
So my understanding was that the hotels were paid for, but that the flights had not yet been paid for. And then, of course, I had the added problem of having booked early, and at the time where that repeat visa fee was applicable. And in the case of my wife and I, we needed to each pay in an additional 8,000 rands. So my package effectively cost me 16,000 rands extra. So my understanding then was that the 16,000 rands together with the flight monies should still have been in New Heights' bank account. Subsequently, I've learned that that wasn't the case, that the flights had in fact been paid for, which then left me with the question as to, so what happened with my monies for my visas? My 16,000 rands should then still be unallocated and accessible. But to date, I've not had a very clear answer around that. So that was one of the questions that I was hoping Fazila would address, because I'm sure there were other mutamirin in a similar position.
Now, we saw the letter coming through from the lawyers of Fazila Malik and of New Heights Travel, undertaking that they would, you know, pay everyone off by the 20th of November.
Correct.
That date has come and gone, two weeks and a bit.
That's correct.
Since then, have you heard anything from them?
Yes, I in fact made contact with Fazila, if I remember, on the 20th of November, just to inquire as to whether or not this payment was going to be made. And she had said to me that there were delays, there were administrative delays, that they were still battling with Saudi, and that she would not be able to make the payment on the said date, but that she had made arrangements to access funding in order to refund her travelers at a later date. And that date was said to be in approximately 2 weeks from the 20th.
Which would be around about this week.
Which was last week, Wednesday, if I remember correctly. Interestingly, I called her last week Wednesday as well and spoke with her and was told that she was still not ready for us.
Okay. So do you know, in the interim, obviously the money's gone. I think that much we can establish. No. Everyone's money's gone. What is she doing to, you know, sort of rectify the situation in terms of getting hold of the money somehow in which to pay you back? Obviously, she can't just run off with the money. So do you have an understanding in terms of that?
So my understanding from what Fazila shared with me is that it's been a constant battle with the authorities. I don't know who exactly the authorities are in Saudi. I'm guessing probably the hotels and whatever else. She mentioned to me it's very difficult to get huge sums of money out of the kingdom. And I'm not too certain how exactly that works. That's also something I was hoping to get some clarity on. But I know that she's battling to get monies out of the kingdom. She has, however, mentioned, as I said, that she had managed to try and access funds in another form, but that there were delays in the administration so that these funds could be paid. We don't know where the funds are coming from, whether they are borrowings or what form the funding takes.
So through all of that, I mean, I think we could possibly say that New Heights Travel financially is not doing the best at this moment in time. Did you know that going into, this agreement or purchasing your package with New Heights Travel, that finances were an issue clearly for the business?
No, obviously not. One kind of expects, I think, and maybe this is also something that I'm almost shy to admit to, but maybe I was a little bit naive in going into this arrangement without a formal contract. I went into the arrangement purely based on Fazila's rather rich reputation that she's got.
Correct, yes.
She's been in business for well over three decades. She constantly, when we speak, refers to the fact that she's been around for 36 years. She's been very successful, and I agree. You know, up until our experience, I've only heard good about Fazila Malik, and that was one of the reasons why we elected to travel with her. So there was no reason for me to doubt her credibility and her ability to deliver.
Have you been in communication with any of the other Mutamirin in the sense of, you know, were they in that same position, they did not sign contracts, you know, taking it based on the fact that she's got a good track record going for herself? You know, what has communication with the other Mutamirin been like?
So it's been very difficult to track down the other Mutamirin. By chance, you know, about a week or so ago, little more than a week ago, I was chatting to a client who was a friend of someone who was coincidentally meant to travel with Fazila in September as well. And I was then put into contact with this person. I'm gauging from the little bit that I've learned in the once or twice that we've spoken, that she too had no reason to mistrust the operator. She too had gone on the reputation of Fazila Malik. I didn't specifically ask her whether she had signed a contract, but I'm assuming that she too did not. You know, so I think everybody that went into this went into it with all good intent, you know, not expecting anything to go wrong.
Of course.
To be honest, I don't think, and I'd like to believe that Fazila herself went into this without expecting anything to go wrong, you know. I certainly hope that I don't find out anything to the contrary. That would be very disappointing.
Absolutely. Has anyone thought to contact the authorities, you know, call up the hotels, perhaps get some comment from Saudi Air as well?
Well, I certainly haven't made contact with the hotels. To be quite honest, I didn't think to do that. I have made inquiries, to be honest with you. I've made contact with the South African Hajj and Umrah Council to get an understanding as to whether or not there have been any complaints, and apparently there were complaints. Just subsequent to my inquiry, as you pointed out earlier, there was a notice issued by the organization, you know, just cautioning travelers.
Sure.
But further than that, I'm not quite certain what has been done, you know, and this has been the whole disappointing part of this, Sabira, you know, because I think all travelers, I for one, if there's anything that I'd want to call for, is transparency. I would have expected a statement to have been delivered, and
yes.
my words to Fazila, in fact, as a business person myself, was that had I experienced this, you know, the impact to my business and to the community would have been such that it would have driven me to make contact with the radio station. And not wait for the radio stations to make contact with me for comment.
Sure.
I would have wanted to have engaged my clientele to put their minds at ease and explain to them exactly what has happened, you know, give them a full comprehensive rundown of what exactly transpired so that we're all on the same page. You know, the sad thing about this is that the bits and pieces of information have been so sketchy and so sparse that it's created a breeding ground for fitna. And we as Muslims should not be conducting ourselves in this way. Mm-hmm. And this is why I elected not to get onto social media and start slandering and
sure.
passing strange comments. You know, instead, I engaged Fazila, and it was I, in fact, that initiated, you know, an interview where we could speak with her, where she could go on air without feeling persecuted, where she'd be given the freedom and the opportunity to express herself openly and clearly to everybody, so that there isn't any room for fitna. You know, there is no place for this.